everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, a Terrace House podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarpinito, and I am joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Zapata.
Bring out the mat!
And Mato. Colin Sparling.
Hello, everybody. I am ready to talk about this episode. Good God, y'all. Good God. I would just like to repeat again that I feel like I went something with y'all. I feel like our bond is ever tighter.
I feel like we all now have a deep, dark secret about each other. We can't reveal to the public. All Terrace House fans. Time
we all watched porn together.
Because
I do.
It's not a secret because it's been out. It's on the internet. It came out two days
people
ago.
Listen to us watch porn together.
It's weird.
Oh, man.
Listen,
pink film.
Listen, kids. So back in my day, and by my day, I mean Jack's day. They didn't have cameras everywhere to capture this shit.
Yeah. If you're an adamant follower, a fan of us, you might know that we've already done a live reaction to episode 11, but you've seen episode 11. You know there's way more to dig into and way more
there's
we
so
should
much.
Have dug into.
Yes, you saw
and
it all.
So we've taken some time. We've taken some breathers, some naps. We're rejuvenated. We've got our Gatorade. And we're ready to go.
We're rehydrated.
Rehydrated with electrolytes.
Oh my God.
I prefer Pocari Sweat. Thank you very much.
Terrace House has been a workout, man, because with the girl fight, my abs are engaged. With this episode, certain various muscle groups, which shall remain non-determined and
not identified,
are engaged.
Jack,
settle down.
He's talking about his pecs, guys.
It's a full body workout, is all I'm saying.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Complete.
He takes your full body, huh?
Yeah. I need some myoplex or something. I don't know.
Yeah. So I guess off the top here, maybe just to be fair, I mean, we don't normally give content warnings, but we're going to talk about adult themes. This podcast will be rated M for adult themes, probably.
Yeah, it's unavoidable.
Yeah, it's just in the. I mean, we normally do that anyway, kind of, but
this time it's built into the content. This time,
yeah, they're, like we
great
finally understand
at a filthy cost.
iTunes review.
I've got to say, I think this episode might have lost some fans of Terrace House.
Yeah.
Some long-standing fans were like, I'm out.
Eject again.
Yeah, this is it's a filter episode, so to speak.
I would just like to say, kids, that with this season of Terrace House in particular, we are hitting the frontier hard. We are exploring new territory. We are getting people with experiences that we've never heard of before, people with occupations we've never heard of before, and we're going to sexy places too, it seems.
We're boldly going where no man has come before.
Oh, stop.
We did it. I mean,
all right, so
with that,
if you jump into the panel and
can we have Daily host this one? Can we
have her? All right, let's get into gear. In the panel, they're recapping the last episode as always, and what I want to look at here is the fact that Shochan and Yama are becoming like master and apprentice, and I'm very much appreciating that.
Dude,
I'm appreciating that Shochan's kind of coming into his own.
Yama's like the Dark Emperor, right? In Emperor Palpatine, he's like, "Give in to ya anger."
Yeah.
And then Shochan's actually Hayden Christensen, and he's like, "I hate the sand."
Oh my gosh. I always thought it was kind of strange how they sit the guest beside Yama. It's a trial in and of itself, I imagine.
Yeah, and Shochan had that cool hair too.
Yeah.
He's
blonde now.
Frosted tips.
Are frosted tips making a comeback?
Don't call it.
I don't think it's fair to call them frosted tips. He's blonde, but he has dark roots still.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's like just his roots that are dark.
Yeah. 90s but are coming back.
They've always been back.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's cut into the episode itself. We're in the first floor, and it's Ruka and Risako, and they're there, and they're sharing each other's plans with their prospective dates, which made me think of, oh, we've come such a long way with Ruka Risako, because early in the season we were like, oh, hey, those two are totally going to get together, and now they're like friends who talk about each other's dates.
Be my boyfriend. Where have we gone since then?
That was what, four?
How far away are we from Be My Boyfriend moment?
Mm-hmm. And then Shohei enters. He was just playing video games in the other room, which we don't hear much about in Terrace House. That was cool. And he starts making this pasta with tomato sauce. And I want to take this moment and correct my dumbass self, because I think I said carbonara has white sauce in our live reaction.
Alfredo.
It doesn't. That's Alfredo. You're right. Carbonara is not that. It has like eggs and shit in it, which is why Ruka does this thing later.
Whatever it was, it's good, man. I'm a pasta addict. Hi, my name's Jack.
And I'm a pasta addict.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, and so, I don't know, man. That bowl of food, that was some good food porn.
If I remember right, though, we shouldn't compliment Shohei too much, because otherwise, what if he gets into his head that he wants to become a chef as well, on top of everything else?
That's what everyone was saying, though. Like,
what the man needs to do is teach young Ruka the ways of the kitchen, as we'll get into later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
And then Kenny comes in. They're all eating this dank pasta. And Ruka reports to the boys that, hey, I haven't asked Cowdy out yet. And there's this moment where Kenny, he sits down and he says, the timing of these things can be tricky. To which point the editing cuts to Risako working on something at the table and looking up in like a really snide, sly, like, oh, is it fucking huh? Yeah. Yeah, Kenny, it's really tricky.
I bet it is. Kenny,
it's
the
tricky.
Eldest, the one that's supposed to have the most life experience and wisdom in this house. But instead, I'd say it goes Ruka, bottom tier, and then Kenny as far as like responsibility of self.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it just perpetuates the idea that Kenny's just, he either doesn't care or is not very self-aware at all.
Nope. Or he's here to promote his band.
He gets even less self-aware this episode, too. Like, I don't think he does anything really for the win here in this episode. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess he gets another date with Risako, and that's about it. We'll get there.
But I can't think of the last time he's won, quote-unquote, won anything.
Like, Kenny. Done a good?
Yeah.
I've heard the community describe him as many things. A bowl of oatmeal. A soggy slab of cardboard.
A wall.
I've heard a lot, and I can't say I disagree.
At least oatmeal can nourish your body.
That's true. I need to know.
Yeah. Do not feel nourished by Kenny.
No. He's about as interesting as watching paint dry, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut to the boys' room. Oh, wait, no, hold on. Actually, one more thing here. I don't want to skip this. They cut to another scene in the first floor. This is like some other time where it's Cowdy, Haruka, and Kenny, and they're all surrounding Ruka. And it's kind of this moment of like the adults teaching the child and or lecturing the child like, hey, you need to grow up. Like, you need to figure out what you want to do in life.
We can't skip that part because that was rough to watch when we were watching it together. I thought tears were going to start flowing.
I think they kind of were. Like, he was at least holding them back.
Yeah, he was holding back pretty hard. This scene was harsh and was hard to watch, but it was necessary. It was necessary. Because in the arc of Ruka in this house, obviously, again, his main goal is to learn life lessons. So this is a big part of that. This is his turning point. We haven't seen Ruka do much in and about the house, and now we're finally learning that he's just confused. He doesn't know what he wants to do, and now he's trying to figure it out, and they're throwing things at him, and he's like, he throws out that I want to be a Marvel character, right? I want to act in Marvel. And people are just like, come on, man.
Yeah, we finally found out, yes, act in Marvel movies, not just become fucking Spider-Man,
right?
Like, vigilante neighborhood.
That's a step forward, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but it's not that becoming an actor in the Marvel MCU is any more realistic than actually becoming Spider-Man.
But here's the thing, though. Okay, flashback to his entrance interview with his family, right? We covered that before our watch along of episode one of part one. And so his dad keeps calling him boy. Remember that? Boy. You have to learn some responsibility, boy. You're gonna have to learn how to do the laundry, boy. Like, all this stuff. And it's like, dude, boy's 18 already. Like, what have you taught him? Or no, 20, isn't he?
He's 20.
He's
20. He's like, all right, dad, you keep calling him boy, but like, what have you passed on to him in these 20 years you've had him? You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't sound like much anything, you know? So,
I mean, we learned Ruka can't even cook for himself. Like, not even they make it sound like he doesn't even know how to do some simple shit like cereal.
Dude,
you know, it's like,
got some cereal, so like hot dog.
I feel like this moment was as intense as it was, like, everyone, you know, talking to him about needing to step it up and grow up a little bit. Like, I feel like at first, like, the first couple weeks in the house, everyone was just like, well, he is, you know, young. He's a little naive. And then I think now, with the revelation about him wanting to act in a Marvel movie, it's like, no, he like legitimately does not know what he's doing. No wonder he doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't feed himself unless someone is cooking. Like,
the fuck is that? And it's like, it was cute at first a couple episodes back when Kyrie's like, oh, I just worry about him. Like, oh, have you eaten so far? Here, have seconds. Like, that was kind of cute at that time. Yeah. Now, understanding that, no, if someone doesn't fucking cook his food and cut his hot dog in little slices for him, he's not going to fucking eat anything. Like, he's just going to starve. He's just like, oh, I guess I die now because no one's doting over me every day. Like,
yeah, it kind of really puts perspective to this inflection point that we've talked about. Of how everyone was, of course, obsessed with Ruka at the beginning of the show. Then it shifted over to Kenny. And now we see why. Because it has been brought to light the habits he has around the house, what he's actually like, how he behaves. Because along with his boyish cuteness, he has boyish tendencies too. Like, small boyish tendencies. Mm-hmm. Doesn't even cook for himself.
He's a small boy.
Yeah, just he's immature.
Small boy.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's like, He definitely needed to hear all this. And I think maybe it was just really hard for him in that moment, because I feel like no one's really like taken, or at least what we've seen, again, the editing could be at fault here, like actually sat down with him and been like, hey, you need a dose of realism, buddy. Mm-hmm. And then for that dose of realism, which is, you know, kind of harsh, it stings a little bit, to come from his crush, Cowdy.
Yeah. Yes.
Ouch. That, no wonder he was, you know, holding back tears. I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
I cannot relate to that. That's something that that's never happened to me before. Someone I like sits there and talks down to you.
Yeah. So,
you know, and belittles you like that.
I do have a question about the scene for you guys. So, do you think he has, like, do you think he understands that in that moment that, because for me personally, if I'm in that situation, my crush is talking to me like that, like, I'm instantly assuming, like, okay, yeah, I'm not even remotely in consideration of, like, being a potential partner for this person, right? At least that's what I would think if I was him in this situation. But do you think he thought that? Do you think he still has a chance? Or do you think that he thinks he still has a chance?
He thinks he still has a chance.
Yeah, I don't think he has a chance. But he definitely
doesn't. I don't think he does either, yeah. Obviously. But
you know what's sad? I mean, gosh, this is kind of jumping ahead. But I think that after he did the egg, water, pasta, broccoli, bland thing, I think he's delicious. Like, all right, well, I'm on the path to glory.
Yeah.
The beginning path, but
glory.
Baby, yeah, but steps think, for baby. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, this is definitely another Ruka-centric episode, but different from all the previous ones. I'm coming out of this hoping more positively for Ruka, because I feel like this is his turning point. This is his, like, he's had three different conversations where an adult talks down to him in this episode and gives him life lessons and says, like, hey, stop being a fucking child, you know?
I want to give him credit too, because, like, what's the flip side of this? It's Yudai, right? Yeah. Yudai's completely helpless, and he's going down a wholly different path. So, like, props to Ruka for, like, acknowledging his shortcomings and trying to do something about it. You know, it seems a little quaint now, but I mean,
right.
You know, I want to give him credit too. At least he's trying. But man, he's a much more immature person than I thought in the beginning.
Yeah, I was half expecting, like, we were going to get a scene with the way this episode was going. We were going to get a scene where he was like, we find out he's just illiterate. He just can't read.
Oh no! We're not at that level.
Learned to read yet? No, I'm only joking. But to put a more positive spin on the Ruka situation right now, I think, like we said, yes, opposite of Yudai, but I think this, what happens in the course of this episode here, will be a turning point for Ruka. At least hopefully. I hope so. That's what I hope.
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's going to grow into a man after he sees the pink scene, that's for sure.
Oh, shit.
Nani?
So this is a tease for future content, but y'all know how we watch those translated, like, little bonus clips. another Terrace. Apparently, Ruka helped Shohei rehearse.
Oh yeah,
for his scene.
We haven't seen that yet.
His very pink scene. We haven't seen that yet. We can't tell you anything about it, but we know it's a thing. And yes, of course, we're going to talk about it eventually.
And it's translated in English?
Costco subs.
We don't know.
Shout out to Costco subs.
Did Costco subs do it?
Yes, they did. Okay, but good. This is actually a good segue into the next scene. Because here's the thing. The Ruka talk is going to be sporadic this episode because there are so many moments over the next hour. We're going to talk about Ruka 100%.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
But this next scene here, it's the boys' room. Kenny and Shohei. Kenny is sitting there. Kenny walks in. He's drunk. He's hungover. Shohei is sitting there reading over his script. And we get to see the name of his pink film. And it's called Virgin Concerto. And it makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. I was like, bring out the virgins.
Virgin Concerto. Wow. Such a choice name.
God, this sounds like it would be a movement by Beethoven.
Virgin Concerto. Jeez. I love it. It's just so.
It sounds like a fan fiction. I think I've read that fanfic, honestly.
Are you sure you didn't write it?
Do not talk about my dark past on this cast.
sounds like one of those like hentai games where you click stuff and it does stuff.
Virgin Concerto. Where you click stuff and it does stuff. Say,
tell us more, Jack, about us, hentai games.
I know nothing of these games that you speak.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, after that, basically, Shohei gives Kenny the lowdown of like, hey, you know that date you had with Risako that night? You could have and should have done something because the moment was right. She was expecting it. You were obviously expecting it and then didn't. So just fucking so do what the something. Heck, dude? Yeah. Do something.
I had nerd rage here. It's like Kenny, like he seemed shocked. Like, really? She was expecting me to kiss her? It wouldn't have been the wrong time? Like, dude.
He's playing
what?
Dumb.
He's playing, he dumb. Playing dumb.
I can't there's believe no fucking it. Way. I can't believe it. I don't know.
There's no way he's what? 30, 32, 31?
31.
Okay.
30. Because he has a birthday. 32. So 32.
30s. 32.
Yeah. And you're telling me he didn't pick up on that? There's no fucking way.
He's just dumb.
There's just no way.
I want to like put out a total like conspiracy theory in that like, you know, they set the mood up on the roof really well. It was really cute. They had candles, they had snacks, they had red wine, they had the hammocks so that they were sitting right next to each other.
Excuse you, hammock.
Night hammock. They had night views.
My theory is that he picked a movie that he either really, really wanted to see or one that was like really cerebral and he had to really focus on. And so he was just so engrossed in the movie the entire time that he could not keep up with the hypothetical questions that Risako was throwing at him or the vibes that she was throwing at him.
What if it was just like a completely unrelated, non-romantic, like it was just like the Lord of the Rings.
Well, that's what something I'm saying. I got the vibe that he just wanted to watch spicy soul videos.
Oh, but here's
his own videos. He's just staring into his own eyes, like, oh yeah.
Look at me in this shot. Look at my hair in this scene. Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Okay. And he's hoping the camera's gonna watch it too, so that way we see it. But alternate take: what if he set all that up because he wanted to show Risako one of his favorite movies ever? Let's call it Lady Bird. And he was hoping that she would like it, right? Because that's a pretty common thing when you first start dating someone, you hope that they like the same things you do, or at least tolerate it, right? And instead of her getting into the drama of whatever he really likes, she just throws these hypothetical questions at him, clearly ignoring the movie, and he's just like, I hate this. She's not the one.
This guy,
but like, she didn't pass a test.
Yeah.
He sings songs about love by the beach, about awesome times, about parties, about having a blast in life and being young and dumb. And the name of his band is Spicy Soul. I motion to change the name of his band to Soggy Soul. This guy is a wet blanket.
Sunny Soul.
Soggy Soul.
Kenny. So
I don't know, man.
We go to the shitro. We come back. It's in the first floor, and Risako and Kenny are making green curry for everyone. It looks pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That looked delicious. Mm-hmm. Seems like everyone in this house can cook except Ruka. And then Ruka comes in, and he's carrying like 20 glasses stacked on each other. Just another example of like,
not
you got to be a bit more mature, man.
Dorm life.
And then he has some of the curry, and it's too, like, from the instant he put it in his mouth, it was too spicy for him.
Oh, it's too spicy for me. I'm baby.
There's flavor on my food.
Yeah, it's like, dude.
I would just like to picture if Ruka could speak English, that's what he would sound like.
Oh, maybe. No.
The Ruka defamation.
He can't speak English either.
He wants to be an actor in an American Marvel movie and he can't speak English.
This is going to be the flagship episode of our podcast for the Ruka Defamation League.
Oh, my God.
No,
we would like Discord to point to Exhibit A.
Yeah, someone in our Discord coined that term. That's not our term, so shout out.
Yeah. And then Kenny leaves to go change, at which point Risako talks directly to Ruka and is like, hey, you okay? Because you go to sleep right when you come home and then you wake up really late and then you go straight to work and come back home and go straight to sleep.
That's some depression vibes.
Yeah. Right there. Yeah. That's what I thought. 100% this show was going to take a hard turn into like talking about mental health, which I would have appreciated. And I would have felt like shit because we've been shitting on Ruka for the past like 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It might just be immaturity. It might be a little bit of depression. It's kind of hard to say.
Yeah, this is the first time he's lived not at home, right? Like, this is the first time he's lived not, like, outside of his family.
Mm-hmm.
So, it could be partially that. And, I mean, he's experiencing a lot. Let's not underestimate that. He's experiencing a lot of different emotions and a lot of situations that he's never encountered before, right? I mean, this is a lot to... He's taking in a lot mentally. I know we're talking about, like, he needs to be more mature and stuff like that, but... I mean, to him right now, I think he feels like there's a lot of weight on his shoulders.
I mean, the way the show is edited, it seems like that seemed to happen. Maybe this is really how it happened or just, again, editing here. But when Kaori scolded him, right, that might have been one of the things that kind of plunged him into the, I'm just going to hide out in my room now. I don't want to show my face.
Mm.
Just so
yeah. Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah. Going. Like you said, Colin, like, this is his first time living away from home, too.
Right.
Like, I remember, like, trying to figure out time management when I moved into college. It's not easy at first. I guess we do have a lot of, like, comparisons that we're making between, like, other people his age. But, like, they've been at this for a mite bit longer. They haven't necessarily lived at home with, like, their mom and grandma to be like, hey, you need to get up and do XYZ.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just prolonging this like too long. You know, I think he never got those lessons that he should have learned from like 13 to now. You know,
yeah. And it might just be the way he was raised too. His parents seemed like maybe they were coddling him a bit. You know, I mean, if he's leaving the house at 20 and doesn't even know the first thing about making like doing laundry,
doesn't know how to turn on the dryer.
Yeah, can't even make himself a grilled cheese, or I guess the equivalent would be like, I don't know, tamago kake gohan. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
It's easy stuff.
I think it is coming through truly that, I mean, the idea that he wanted to, you know, really learn life lessons and stuff, and really become, you know, I don't know, grow up a little bit, and he's definitely getting that in the house. And it is kind of a shame, though, I will say, that he has to do it in front of a giant public audience.
The world, yeah.
But
it's pains.
It's a good place for it to happen, right? Because all this pressure is on him, but if he can get through it, think of how much better of a human being he's going to become. You know what I mean?
That's true. It's just like on top of everything else, on top of moving away from your family and thinking about who you have a crush on and everyone's telling you you're immature and like you're trying to figure out where you're at in life. And then on top of that, you have to be on for the camera.
And on top of all that, hoping he gets bitten by a radioactive spider. It's a lot of pressure.
I mean,
he's just like going to like dark corners of the house and like looking for spiders. Like he's crawling around.
He's got a black light going around. But
he just like you crawled up to the stairs, to the girls' room.
I'm definitely not done dunking on this guy for this episode, but I will say by the end of this episode, I am optimistic as to his long term, how he's going to turn out, you know, as an adult. Yeah. I think it'll happen. I mean, it could be a handful of years here, but he's on.
I'm becoming pretty invested in Ruka as a character because of this everything that's happening in here, especially in this episode.
Right.
So I do want to see him. I hope he sticks around. You know what I mean? I hope we don't get a Yudai situation where he feels pressured. Right. And he feels uncomfortable, so he decides to leave. I hope we don't get that.
That's the difference between the two, for sure, is that Ruka is like, I came here to learn and now I am learning and I'm putting forth effort. Whereas Yudai was like, he like kind of like cheekily embraced the fact that he was like, oh, I want like a mother dog, etc. Like right. That was his shtick. Whereas yeah. Ruka's like, no, this isn't who I want to be.
Right. I want right. to grow up.
So to continue this sadness train that we're on, let's talk about Cowdy, right?
Cowdy.
From what I remember of our live react, all four of us were really quiet during this moment. Cause I think it's like, this is something that you can't really, like, there's no good reaction to this. You know what I mean? There's not like right. a lighting but in the bottle.
This was a lot too.
Yeah. It was very heavy and very cerebral, but to boil it down as simply as we can, essentially, Cowdy just went out for drinks with her friends because she needed to vent and say, hey, I'm worried that all of these good contracts and freelance gigs that I'm getting are perhaps too good for where my talent really is.
She's feeling some serious imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's so hard because it's like, how, like, oh, you're complaining about good things happening to you when that, like, because like feeling like that just double compounds the bad feels, like that I've tricked everyone into thinking I'm this good, and now that I'm trying to admit that I'm not this good, everyone's mad at me. It's a very tough situation that she's in.
Yeah, it's a terrible cycle because you're mad at yourself, and then you're mad at yourself for being mad at yourself, so now you're even madder at yourself.
All bad, you know? Feels.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that put her in this kind of funk here, the fact that, what's the name of that?
Beams.
Beams? Yeah. The Beams. Fact that Beams didn't place as huge an order as she was hoping and some of the artists that she admires and aspires to be did.
Yeah.
So the funny thing I was thinking in my head, she's like, you know, maybe this is all for naught, right? This is just a theory. Like, maybe they're like, how many did we order? And the guy's just like, a solid 50. And she's like, oh. And he meant like 50K. She just went home like, oh, only 50. Oh, shit.
Only 50.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, 50? Yeah. Like, what's that? Like, how are you going to make any money off of that, you know? It seems like a super low number.
Yeah, and this was, like, supposed to be, like, her benchmark to, like, measure, like, at what point, like, her talent was. She's like, oh, I scored, like, this deal with Beams. That means that, you know, I'm just as good as whoever else, other artists right. that actually went to art school. That was another thing, is that she so regrets her time in the corporate world and not having gone to art school. She feels like a coward for having gone with like the safe option that she knew she was going to be able to support herself off of rather than diving into illustration, which is her actual passion, which she has proven to be successful with.
Yeah, so I think... So Kaori, that the thing is, she is obviously pretty damn talented either way, no matter what she says, like, in my opinion. And I don't know what kind of level that they expect at this place that she's talking about. Like, exactly. Because I don't think they showed any examples of like other people's work or anything, if to my recollection. But at the same time, half the battle at working anywhere is just being likable. And being a person that you know, you do the work that you're told to do, and also you're easy to be around, and you put in the work. And it's clear that Kaori has the work ethic, and she gets the stuff done. And I mean, the numbers might not necessarily reflect what she wants, but I mean, it's obvious that people like to work with her. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So she has something there.
Giggle so much at that initial Beams meeting from the other episode. Like, everyone was like, ah, ha, ha, Kaori, you're so funny. They didn't say that. But
oh, you're so funny.
It felt like it to that level. Like, she's so damn charming.
That's another reason why it's so weird to me. Like, why would they even go through the whole rigmarole of having her physically come in if they're only going to do 50 pieces? Like, it's that can be an email. You know, yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a thing where we bring the Terrace House cameras in, unless they were just trying to, again, get promoted and boosted, get the Terrace House bump. As they say.
Right. Like, because that's partially what might be it.
I coined that phrase just now. Yeah. Now I
Terrace House bump.
The Terrace House bump.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Because, I mean, that really might be what it is, right? It's like, oh, this artist, she's on Terrace. Like, there's totally a possibility where they were like, I mean, her art is fine, but she's also on Terrace House, so more people will know about our company. So let's get her on, right?
And I think it's good, by the way. Like, I can't draw for shit. Like, holy fuck.
No, same.
I think it's really good, too.
Yeah. I think So to talk about Colin's point here for a bit, we're like, she's very likable, right? But that's something that Kenny brings up later. Because you remember, Kenny wants to dig up the old wounds. God, he's so bad at this. Like, so in this moment, he's the last thing he says is, even you have worries like that, huh? Which is like, that's kind of shitty. Like, can you
Fuck
not?
You.
But then,
like, he does not know how to be human.
No. But then later, this is jumping a bit ahead, but since we're all talking about this, right? So Kenny just brings it up to her again, like in the kitchen. Hey, have you figured out that thing you were ranting about yesterday? It's like, no, you dumb shit. It doesn't take 24 hours to resolve this.
Yeah.
You know that thing about...
Didn't your professor say something like terrible to you? Remember that?
Yeah. Hey, that thing you're about to cry about and were crying about and had to go drinking out with your friends about, how's that going?
Yeah. You figured that out? Is that all good now? Like, no, you stupid idiot. Yeesh. But... He says he thinks the solution is maybe you just need to take some time to make art for your fans, right? Do something that will make other people like you. But her counter is, that's just not the way I operate, because much like Shohei, I want to create art that satisfies me.
Which is important, but doesn't... Okay, so this is another part too. Like, doesn't she also have a line where... Right before that, too, she's like, you know, I thought it... I'm going to butcher this up, but it was something to the effect of where... She didn't want to feel like money and popularity were motivating her, and like she didn't want to feel like that was important, but then she did realize it is important. Like, those were motivating factors for her, was money and popularity.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, I remember her saying that it seeped in and it turned into that a little bit.
Yeah. Right. So for Kenny to be like, just make stuff that will make you more popular with your fans. It's like, you are a great listener, clearly, Kenny. You totally absorbed what I just said not 5 minutes ago. Thanks, dude. Thanks.
Yeah. Like, Kenny puts himself in her shoes and he's like, sure, for my job, I need to be good at guitar, but my fans don't care how good I am at guitar. And he almost makes it sound like he could be faking it this whole time, you know, and get the fans that he does. And maybe there's a little bit of that. It's hard to really say, but nonetheless, if that's the way you're thinking, or hey, I don't need to be a good musician, I just need to market myself as a good musician.
Maybe in a weird way, he's trying to make her feel better too. Like, maybe in a weird way, he's like, hey, you know what? Like, you're a total package kind of thing. It's not, you know, people love your art, but they love you as well. And they're not going to like spank you or punish you if your art isn't the most technically superior art out there, because Foxco is a brand. And that brand is what they like, not necessarily, wow, look how straight that jacket button looks or some shit.
Yeah, I will
say. Great if he said that.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that point too, because being on Terrace House, I mean, you're marketing yourself 100%, right? So there certainly is that angle of it. And so while I understand, I think the way Kenny went about it was harsh, he does have a point, but it wasn't the correct one in this situation. I mean, the basically the way that he handled it, he's basically, Cowdy tells Kenny that in a way, she's like, I broke up with my boyfriend. And then the next day he was like, hey, so like, you know how you told me you broke up with your boyfriend? You over him yet? That's basically how he handled it.
Yeah. He's like, bro, too soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, in the long run, though, what I like about this is that this is something that I think has shaken Cowdy to her core, right? Like, this is definitely a quarter-life crisis level thing. But at the same time, I have more than enough confidence in her where I'm like, she's going to get through this one way or another. She's going to change as a person, probably. But I don't worry about her in the same way that I worry, like, once Ruka leaves the house, will he be okay? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this whole thread here just rings really, really, really strongly for me, because I relate to this so much. You know, I mean, I waited till way later in life to even go to school because I was chasing the dream, right? Thinking I was going to be a musician, and, you know, got to tour and got to, you know, be signed to an indie label and da 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 da, and just be an idiot the whole time. And I never went to school. I realized, like, wow, I never set foot in a college classroom, and I'm kind of broke. But this is kind of a fun life, but it only lasts so long. You know, you can only like live paycheck to paycheck so long. And then I came to like an inflection point. Like, what do I do? And I was about her age, you know, at that time when I had to have that moment. And I was like, well, I'm going to actually do the quote-unquote adult thing, drop my dream, so to speak, and put everything into my education and invest in myself and, like, go to college and, like, crush it there. And, you know, because I didn't have that much money, so I need as many scholarships as possible. But I really treated it like a full-time job, you know? Like, I'm going to, fuck it, I don't care if I look like a nerd, I'm going to try and get a 4.0 if I possibly can, you know, and do my best. And so did that, and it ended up paying off. You know, now I do have, like, one of those stable jobs where I don't have to live paycheck to paycheck anymore. I don't really need for anything anymore. And, yeah, it is, like, some people might look at that as, like, a bummer, but to me, it's like, hey, I've lived kind of both sides of the coin. Like, I've lived off ramen for years and years and years, and now it's not like that anymore, and I kind of feel a little bit naive, and that's kind of what she brings up here, too. She's like, it is a little naive to think that you shouldn't do something because it'll make you money or it'll make you popular or both, too. And so, I don't know, just this whole thing is just really, like, resonant to me right now. It's like, it brings me back to that time in my life where I had to make that life, that literally life-changing decision. And now that I'm on the other side of it, I'm so glad I did it. You know, I'm so glad.
Yeah, and she's going to get through this.
Yeah, she'll get through it. And much like you and your situation, Jack, I think the first step is understanding that you may or may not have a problem, right? I mean, she has the foresight to at least understand that, like, there's some aspect of her life that may not be making her happy. Mm-hmm. And so she definitely has the time. She definitely has the resources to change that. If that's what she wants to do.
Yeah. So I think she's going to do well.
Yeah.
We cut to the panel from here and they all dunk on Kenny. They all immediately recognize, like, hey, Kenny did a dumb thing that probably made Cody feel worse. But then it was Yama who pointed it out first that, like, Kenny did a bad thing. So now we're seeing glimpses of married Yama. This is married Yama.
They were all like, whoa, that was kind of sensitive of you.
You called him, like, out, too.
Yeah. She was like, wait, you can't have changed overnight. Has this been you the whole time and you're just now showing it?
Yama's a changed man. Who knew?
The married life.
Then we cut to the pool. First time. This is, like, the first scene, I think, that we're in the pool. Well, no, they're not in the pool. But they're near the pool.
I feel like everyone's scared to, like, actually get in the pool. It's so dang deep.
You could die.
Why are we? We're now 11 episodes in. Nary a pool scene.
It's been cold.
Nary.
It's been cold.
Damn it.
Yeah, they're just now getting into summer, I think, in this episode, okay. Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I want it soon. Let's go.
Same. But they're in the pool area and they cook some okonomiyaki. This is all Shohei's idea, which, like, to me solidifies he is the chef of this season right now, and I'm loving it.
So let me ask real quick about that.
Hi.
Is that it looked like bacon and eggs?
Okay.
And so some weird
okonomiyaki.
Shit?
Okonomiyaki is cabbage pancake, essentially. But it's savory. There's like a savory sauce on it. The bacon was an added twist. That's not in your traditional okonomiyaki, but like it can be added.
You can add in stuff. It's like you just put everything in and then put the batter and that fuses it together. And then you put a bunch of sauce on it and mayonnaise and it's like,
I'm a fan of savory pancakes.
It's very good.
Oh, yeah.
And Shohei was making it, so you know it was damn good.
Even though he looked like he was about to fall into the pool, I was worried for him.
Same.
Yeah, they were dangerously close to the edge of the pool.
Yeah,
I was like, yeah, is okonomiyaki about to fly into the pool right now?
It might.
About to have some floating okonomiyaki.
Okonomiyaki incident.
Oh no, that sounds like a murder.
The okonomiyaki incident. Yeah,
totally does.
But it's also in the scene where Kaori tells Shohei that Ruka is too immature for me. Like, it's not just that he's younger, but he doesn't know the first step to, like, doing anything. He doesn't know when to take a leap. He doesn't know when, like, what job he wants, what's his goal in life, etc.
She does not pull any punches either.
And when we were watching this together, she did that deep sigh, that inhale, right?
Like the beginning of a YouTube apology video.
It's like when Peter Griffin hits his knee on the sidewalk. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't blame her at all for this choice, because it's like, especially with, you know, what she's going through right now, it's not like he would be able to offer her like any kind of support other than like, oh man, that sucks. Like, maybe he'd be a little bit more tactful than Kenny was, but he can in no way be like, you know, credibly say like, I know you'll get through this, etc. It's like he hasn't had any hardship in his life.
Exactly. He doesn't have the touch points or experience in his life to empathize.
Yeah. And he, and also she and Haruka say that his whole goal seems to be that he wants to look cool to other people.
And that is very telling. And that is super immature thing. Be like, well, what I want to do is look cool to people. And it's like, he doesn't realize, like, dude, when you say you want to be a hero, that is really cool. If you mean like save people's lives, be a paramedic, be a fireman, be a public servant. Like, there's a lot of cool shit involved with that. But he goes way the other direction. Like, you want to work for Marvel. Like,
yeah.
Dude.
Which, to be fair, the people who do work at Marvel are all very cool. Everyone from the actors to the visual effects artists to the directors, the producers, everyone in between. They're all cool people. But I don't believe that their mission in life is to be cool people. I think their mission in life is create good art, and it just happens to make them cool.
What? No one's thought of this before, but this is, I'm not even trying to make a joke. I swear to God when I say this. But like, why doesn't he be Japanese Spider-Man at like some theme park or something?
Japanese Disneyland.
Yeah, like something
Disneyland Tokyo.
Each one of those needs one of those, right? They need a Spider-Man. They need a few.
He hasn't put any plans into anything at all. Like when they were calling him out, they were like, you know, like, why haven't you like tried to learn English, or why haven't you like gone to, like, people have invited him to like acting workshops, and he's just been like, nah,
it's too soon.
Because I don't think he himself believes for a second that he actually wants to be Spider-Man. I think that's just something that came to his mind, and he's like, yeah, I like Marvel movies, I'm just gonna throw this out there. I don't think he's sure at all exactly what he wants to do. I don't think he's found the thing that drives him, the thing that he's passionate about.
The thing that's so ironic about this is he's the ultimate like Peter Parker, you know. He's the what's Superman's name?
Clark Kent.
Clark Kent. Thank you. I could not remember.
What was Superman?
You like, nerd. Like, you don't know comic book heroes.
It just escaped my brain. But he's, you know what I mean? He's the ultimate alter ego. He's so like diminutive. He's so timid. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's just things he could be doing here. Obviously, I just want to choke him. Like,
same.
Oh,
I just want to choke him.
I didn't live your think life. That was
what wow. live your life as you're strangling him to death.
I feel like that's the way Kaori feels in a sense too, is that she's like frustrated with him because she's like on the other side of all this. And I forget when it was, but she was like, you're so young. Like, you have these chances and you're passing them up, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, like, just do. Like, just take
just
the leap.
Do it.
You know, like, one, you're never too young to take the leap, but also you're young. Take the leap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to do?
Keep 100% of the shots you don't take.
Exactly. Wayne Gretzky. Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think my boy, I think what he needs is some damn manual labor.
Yes.
This boy needs to work.
He won't wake up early. That was his thing with his dad. And he's like, well, I gotta wake up early.
Yeah, his dad is his hero, but also I would never work with my dad.
Well, yeah, what does his dad do again? Like, it's very blue collar.
His dad works, he like waterproofs homes.
Yeah, it's
he like
construction.
Has his own business doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, so like Ruko would have grown up like going along with dad on the weekends or when he doesn't have school, like helping out, right? Nah, he did that a couple times. Then he was like, you have to wear this helmet and like the towel and the helmet.
Yeah. Oh,
and, like, you have to get up early. And so
I just stopped.
They won't let me wear baggy jeans. And
I can't look cool while doing that, guys. I get sweaty, and that's not cool.
But can we talk about the scene that did look cool? Can we cut to Planar in Waseda, Tokyo, in this what I assume is a hotel, probably.
Yikes. With a shower.
Where we see Shohei in a robe and like 30 people around him clapping, like, welcome. We're gonna watch you fuck. Welcome.
It was just like the first thing you see is this bed smack in the center of the room. There's like no room for anyone to stand except on the very edges of the bed. And I was like, and when he came in the when he came in the robe, I was like, how much are we seeing of him today? And then we found out.
Dude, this is so much further than Skinemax ever went. This is like legit porn.
Yeah, like, I mean this as literally as I can. We see everything but his twig.
I mean,
we see the berries. Yes.
A little bit of berries, possibly.
I mean, we see the berries. Thing is too, the thing is funny is he's playing the student, the younger student.
Yep, the younger employee.
Younger. Oh, is it employee? Okay.
It's employee.
But he's the young one in the scene. And
yes, he's young employee in the movie Virgin Concerto.
Oh, Jesus, God. So my boy Shohei, they got him all makeuped up. Like he doesn't even look like hardly the same person.
It's caked on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was real caked on. And just the acting, the way they had it scripted, it was real weird. I don't know.
It was
super awkward.
Like,
everything
was
awkward.
It was not like a standard, like, hey, someone ordered a sausage pizza kind of thing. It was like they were like in the bath, like not like in water at all. There wasn't still in her underwear. He was totally naked. He like really awkwardly turned around on the stool he was sitting on, like very clearly not trying to flash his dick. And he was like just looking at her so awkwardly, like, do you understand?
You have to acknowledge. You have to acknowledge your desires. I want to sleep with you. Do you understand?
Do you understand?
I know you'll understand me now.
And she was like, yeah, like the most enthusiastic nod.
Hi.
And then like when they embraced, it looked like he was gonna cry.
Dude, it was so awkward. God, and you cannot tell me we didn't see his sack. You cannot tell me that.
She says,
just hanging.
You like feeling good, don't you? And I'm like, what is happening? And Shohei does a nod, but it's kind of just like his head goes down and doesn't come back up for a good 2 seconds. It's really weird.
It's so like, bizarre, dude.
I want the context of the rest of the film, maybe. Like, what if this is just about two really awkward virgins
in a concerto? That's all you need to know.
In a concerto. But, and that, I didn't think it was going to go as far as it did in terms of like, and then they start making out. And I was like, okay, when are they going to say cut? And it's like, no, he starts
sucking on them titties.
Yes, yeah, thank you, Robert. I wasn't sure how to say it.
He just ruined it.
No one will ever hear me say that on recording.
Say what?
He was just like, I'm going to take the whole fucking titty. Just the whole titty.
Look, I'm not one. Okay, I get a little blue sometimes, but like legit, you could jerk it to this scene. Like it was that explicit.
I couldn't do that to my boy Shohei.
No, I couldn't either, but I'm just saying, like, it's explicit enough where there's enough nudity there where someone was like, unzip. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing, okay. People that saw this in Japan, did they show this on TV in prime time in Japan? Was this a Netflix exclusive scene? Like, I was shocked because I can't think of any time, at least on the episodes of Terrace House in North America, nothing like this, right? Nothing even close. Even the Santa Noah makeout sesh. Nothing like this.
We thought that was steamy.
And so it's just like, I'm shocked. Like, what are the, like, you know, the Federal Communications Board or whatever, like, standards and practices? What do they got to say about this? I'm curious. I want to know. Because I was not expecting anything like this. I never got into Terrace House for this. No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just like, I was legitimately shocked when she took off her robe and we saw like top
titties
nudity. Yeah.
Yeah. We saw full nudity.
We saw some titties.
I wondered that. I mean, obviously I don't think we would ever see that between like, if this was like two housemates and it was an actual real relationship sort of thing. Mm-mm. I think the only reason where they got away with what they did was within this context of it being a pink film / softcore porn, hard, whatever it was.
Okay, I'm going to do it now. This is my whole beef with this whole episode, okay? This scene is so crazy that I was like, what the fuck is the panel going to say about this? Tick, 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 tick. Wait, the episode ends. Doesn't even fucking acknowledge it. It's not even a fucking thing. Like, what the hell? Of all the things in Terrace House that the panel, you know, Baba, Tokui, you, Tori-chan, Sho-chan, Yama, none of y'all got nothing to say about this?
And I,
what
I
the
loved,
fuck?
Too, it was a bit of a fake out because I remember when they cut to the panel after this scene. I mean, it's like way later after this scene, but they cut to the panel and all of them were like, oh my God, that was crazy.
Yeah.
It's the carbonara. The pasta. That was crazy.
The pasta was so crazy. Like, dude, we saw Shohei with his mouth on a girl's breast.
We almost saw Shohei's noodle. Like, come on.
For reals. Now, so here's the thing. Here's the theory. And I'm really pissed, dude, because I feel like they have a cut. They meant to not include this scene to me.
Oh, 100%.
It was cut and paste, just like plopped in there, like boom, just put it in there so we can take it out easily and doesn't make a difference. Mm-hmm. So that, and I'm just so pissed because it's so obvious that the whole scene, the whole episode doesn't have any build up to it, doesn't have any resolution from it, no references to it, period. It's meant to like drop it in your lap and leave it there.
We had so much trouble in the live reaction video, like recovering from having suddenly seen that out of nowhere. Like there needed to be a panel moment to like decompress for a moment and go over what we just saw.
Right.
Like I feel like out of anything, that should have been like a very necessary time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Let's breathe for a second because how are we supposed to just go back to regular, very tame Terrace House after some sack and titties?
It just left me unfulfilled because, like I said, when you see something at Terrace House, I'm always like, wow, I can't wait to hear what the commentators say. Personally.
Yeah. And I mean, do you really expect us to believe that Tokui, Mr. Pedo Pedo House, Yoshimi Tokui, didn't have a damn thing to say about this?
Man.
Fuck that. So, I do not believe that. They definitely got the reactions on camera. They just did not put it in the show.
Here's the thing. Okay. If we go to episode 12, we haven't seen it yet. But if we go to episode 12 and if they don't bring it up in the very first scene, like, fuck that. Like, that just pissed me off. Like, why put it in there at all? Like, I don't know. It just seems like a shock value thing. It's almost like they're like, hey, we need more ratings for that show. You know, that Terrace House show. Put some boobs in there. All right. Plop. This will get some likes. This will go viral on the internet, and it kind of did, but not really beyond the established Terrace House community already.
You know? I don't know, man.
It just seems like a publicity stunt more than anything.
It's really strange.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because, you know, normally Terrace House does occasionally interlace all the inter-housemate drama with, oh, look at, you know, this person going to work to do their job. Oh, we get to see Kenny perform at a show. Oh, we get to see Haruka race, right? Like, we've got all these little moments of them working. Shohei's moment of working, I guess, is this. And it's an unfortunate choice. And I guess, like, if I were on the editorial board or the one of the editors of the show, I would have thought, for all the things we want to showcase of Shohei doing work, this would not be one of them. This would be something, like, at the very least, I would have done it more tastefully than here are tits. They're making out. There's a sack. Like, this is porn. You know,
it was almost like an avant-garde film. It was like there was not erotic at all. It was not entertaining. It was entertaining in the wrong reasons.
Other than their weird lines.
It was just like something meant to freak out about.
Put some bow chicka wow in the background.
Put some bow chicka. Oh my God. I do at least agree with Robert's point. Like, I mean, you could have done this a little bit more tastefully. I think the angles that they chose for this scene was really strange. Like, there was a way there that they could have conveyed, like, what the hell was going on in the scene.
It was meant to
show what they did.
Yeah, it was meant to get a reaction. I think it was really like a publicity stunt. Like, hey, let's get Terrace House to be covered by the mainstream or something, you know, as this crazy pornographic show.
I feel kind of bad for the actress in this scene because it's like, yeah, she signed up for the pink film, but she didn't sign up for her titties to be on Terrace House. It's like, they have to clear that with her, but it's one of those things where it's like, what else are you going to say? No, like, what are you allowed to do in that situation?
Kind of thing too, though, with her, if she's in the entertainment business, the business is showing her stuff, then the Terrace House bump can't hurt her either, too. You know, that might have boosted her profile for her career.
Terrace House bump. Hashtag Terrace House bump.
Yep. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the scene, it was great shock value. I will say off the top, it's good in the reaction that it got out of us. I think it's something that's worth talking about. It's fun to talk about.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, just analyzing it and seeing how it fits in Terrace House as a whole, I could have done without. I feel like it was too much.
That's the thing too, like, I you almost think you want some hot, sexy time on Terrace House, and then they give you this, and you're like, I don't want any more of that.
I didn't sign up for this.
No more of this. Like,
well, give yeah, me it's like how they used to take, you know, every half decent action movie back in the day. It was a trend to have like a crazy sex scene of a varying degree of explicitness or whatever, and it was just like it never really did anything for the film. They could have just heavily implied it, right? Or like the two characters kiss and then they show and then it just goes off camera otherwise.
It's mainly for the 13-year-old boys in the audience.
Yeah, those movies. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like it's unnecessary. We don't, I mean, it can be heavily implied and it's like, okay, we know what happened. That's cool.
But right? I will say, choicest line in the scene. Bring out the mat.
Bring out Mato.
That was a choice line. So good.
It was real good.
Because it just puts so many thoughts in your head, like, what the fuck does that mean? Where are they going to go from here?
Yeah. It's like, it could be worse. Yeah, they could have said, like, bring in the horse. Like, no.
Oh, no. Oh, Jesus. So, are we decompressed from the porn? Can we talk about
Let's
I need a moment from the horse.
Trying to recover.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wow.
We go to the roof, and I remember this scene because I don't remember it from the live reaction because we were all too struck from the porn. But now that we're back and we've had some time to rewatch and everything, this is the scene where Kenny and Risako are on the roof, and Kenny actually asks Risako out on a date. This is maybe the only thing he does in the house this episode.
Whoa. But
it's like a dressy date. He wants to be like, hey, let's dress up for whatever day we go on. So that's nice.
Nice.
Finally shows some initiative, yeah.
Meanwhile, Risako tells Kenny, hey, we should talk to Haruka because he needs help. He sleeps in, Cardi doesn't know how to talk to him anymore, etc.
Like, bring your pasta into the playroom.
Yeah, and that's exactly...
Couldn't it wait till after?
No, that's exactly what they do. They ask him, hey, can you bring your pasta with you to the playroom? Let's talk,
right? He's just sitting there getting cold in his hands. He's like,
Yeah, but...
Like, he wasn't about to eat it.
Yeah, and like, Haruka, you know, like, they ask, hey, Haruka, how have you been doing? And he's like, well, I feel a little lost, and I feel like I need a goal. And then he says, quote, like going after a job with Marvel or whatever. And it's like, that's not a thing that you attach or whatever to. Like, going for a job with Marvel is a big deal.
Yeah, that's a long-term goal. That's not a, I need something to do in the next month.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to get a job with Marvel.
Not a lot of first-time actors getting called by Marvel to screencast, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the weird thing is, it's like, I don't often hear people calling out like, hey, I want to be in a Marvel movie specifically. It's more so like, I want to become an actor first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a narrow scope, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you become an actor first, and then you hope you get cast in a Marvel movie. You don't just, like, work to be in a Marvel movie.
Right, but this isn't to say that he has no chance. I mean, look at Lauren Tsai, right? Like, Jack, I know you don't like Lauren, but from her time on Terrace House and all the other stuff she does, making Marvel comic covers and all that, she is actually in a Marvel TV show.
Daily, earmuffs?
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, for the record, Robert, I don't not like Lauren. I like Lauren just fine. I don't like how boring she was on Terrace House.
Okay, fair.
Point blank. But I'm fine with her. You're going to sick the Lauren faithful on me here on the internet.
The Lauren, like, Lauren Defense Force.
The side faithful. Like, I'm fine with her.
The side Defense Force.
She's like a model. She's an actress. She's super talented. But her time on Terrace House was mad boring. She was kind of like Candy.
Fair.
Could you call them the Lauren Tsai Legion?
LDF.
Hey, maybe. But yeah. Okay, and so now that I've defended my honor, what was the question?
I mean, basically, someone else from Terrace House has gotten onto a Marvel property before.
True.
So it's out of the question.
It can totally happen. And Lauren, I would say, is the one that has, of all Terrace House alumni, probably leveraged the Terrace House bump to the most effect. She's like fully gone mainstream Western Hollywood. Like, yeah, so kudos to her.
Yeah, I guess it's not out of the question.
Mm-hmm. She's going into a Netflix movie, right? I think with like Amy Poehler directing.
Yeah. She's got things going on. So, I mean, he could like, you know, network her his way to Lauren Tsai, and you never know. That's how these things work. You know, it's about who you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, also, we don't know if he has any acting chops at all.
And Daly's back, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm back also.
Hi.
Yeah. That's the thing is that like why it was so weird for him to just say like Marvel movie, because it's like he wants to be the character versus like an actor that plays that character. And it's like, especially if he wanted to be Spider-Man, I'm really surprised he didn't leverage his friendship with Risako then and learn some parkour, because it's like, what does Spider-Man do? He does flips and stuff. Well, why don't you go and learn that with Risako?
And a lot of people don't know this, but that's how Tobey Maguire landed the Spider-Man role way back in, what, 2003, something like that, 2002, even earlier than that. Anyways, he made, like, a film that looked pretty good. He was, like, shirtless, but he was wearing, like, a skin-tight, like, pants, like Spider-Man pants in the bottom, and he was doing, like, superhero shit, and he had the body for it, and he had the flips, and he was doing the acrobatic shit, and that's how he got that role. A lot of people don't know about that, but he went the extra mile above everyone else, because that was the hottest role in Hollywood at that time, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. Yeah, actually, I had no idea about that. That's crazy. Yeah,
he went the extra mile.
So with the rest of the scene here, it's mainly Risako kind of telling off, kind of telling off Ruka. It's a little bit mean, and I think she recognizes it because she says at the end of it, like, oh, maybe I'm a little bit too honest. But it's just a continuation of, like, here's a blunt thing you need to hear in order to become a better person, because right now everyone is treating you like a child because you don't give them a reason to not treat you like a child.
Right.
That's the truth. That's the hard truth, man.
It needed to be said.
We talked about it already, but it's like people were really genuinely doting over him because he let them, you know, because he wouldn't eat unless someone cooked for him. And so they were they really worried about his well-being because they didn't think he could take care of himself.
Right. So I don't want to stay on the scene too much, as we have like touched on it a lot already. Mm-hmm. But the things I do want to point out is, one, Ruka doesn't get it. He's somehow confused by the notion of, hey, if you act like a child, people will treat you like a child.
What?
What does that
mean? I don't understand.
I don't. And then when she turns to Kenny and is like, Kenny, back me up. Kenny is also like, sorry.
You lost me in the middle.
And I don't know if that's Kenny actually is dumb, or Risako talked way too like circularly, or Kenny just doesn't care. My money's on the third. Yeah.
They don't have a good like communication like relationship.
No,
like,
definitely not.
She's talking at him, he doesn't get it. He's like, yeah, whatever. And one thing we did kind of skip over, how she pointed out how he's always on one certain side, like he's paying attention to where the cameras are. He's kind of doing what Sana did, right? Where he's always sitting on one side when he's talking to Risako, and she's always in one position too. So just another kind of Easter egg, like, that he's conscious of that shit.
Is he like thinking so much about like being on film and how he's coming across that he literally can't like keep up with what's happening in front of him?
I kind of think so. There's a lot of evidence, I think, mounting that, you know, we mentioned earlier in a couple episodes back that he's in analysis paralysis. He's just constantly got other things on his mind. It's hard for him to like really participate in some of these conversations. Like, what are you thinking about? Thinking about your Instagram stream?
Is he just overly conscious of his image and what's happening with the camera?
You called him out too for wearing his band shirts too much, which... This is just the prevailing
stoking the
theme.
Flames of that theory that he's just there for self-promotion.
Yeah, it's just, and the rest of the panelists even go as far as to say the other housemates have probably noticed by now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's all his goal is.
Mm-hmm. And that pasta got cold, man. That pasta got cold.
It did. Just like Ruka's heart. But on the next day, we're in the first floor and it's Shohei and Ruka. And Shohei's like, oh, hey, we're getting a porch, I guess. Also, it's really hard for me to look Shohei in the eyes. Just side note.
It's just hard to look at him now. Like,
it's like we know this dark secret now. It's us and Shohei and then everyone else in the house. Yeah, because it never gets acknowledged.
So they're going to watch this episode. That's what I can't get over. They're going to watch this episode at some point.
They're all going to see it. His scrotum.
That's what I want to wonder. That's what I'm wondering about. Is there a cut out there that where people just... it's completely gone. Is that only for certain markets?
Who knows? I mean, you know? Yeah, you know, I wonder if it was only in the American cut. I mean, probably not. But
definitely in the European cut. Come on.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious here. Like, it was so clearly a modular scene in this episode. Like, it just...
God, it was some shit. But nonetheless, back to Ruka, because this isn't about Shohei anymore or scrotum.
No.
Ruka goes outside to check out the porch, and We all fucking love this. It was Kojima-san. Isato Kojima-san from Kamakura Lookamart and Garden.
This guy's
awesome. It was so nice to see him again. Oh.
And what a badass this guy is. Yeah, I love this
badass.
Guy.
He
like,
is.
It wouldn't have been a season in Tokyo without him.
I want to be a pirate just so he can be the captain of my pirate ship.
So I'm gonna say that like this scene is like almost 100% staged.
Yes.
Oh, like yeah. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. Like it had staged written all over it to me.
The house needs something. Porch. Okay, bring that guy.
Yeah. And so like the fact that he was there and Ruka just so happens to go out there and I was literally like, you know, they're saying like, oh my God, he's there. And I'm like, oh, they should hire him. He should go work for Kamakura and do some manual labor. And I was super excited because I thought he was going to have Ruka come out and work for him. And then we learn Ruka is just like, nah, I don't want to get up early.
I love the scene.
Wear a hard hat.
I really like the scene, but you're right, Colin. We got to get off that. Oh, none of this is scripted at all. This is all real.
Well, there's no
life.
Script at all, but that's a very loose, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
but it's like, go out and talk to the people.
There's definitely
because they have no reason to like open the front door and be like, hi.
Yeah, in fact, he's inconveniencing all those guys and he's costing that guy thousands of dollars in labor by just sitting there talking to everybody.
Right. But he's there to drop wisdom, not a porch.
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't know. It's nice, but I do like how they ask, hey, Ruka, are you getting along fine? And he kind of dumps his soul out of it. He's like, yeah, everyone keeps seeing me as a child and people say I rely too much on other people. And it's like, that sucks. But all Kojima says in response is, man, isn't this boy good looking? I bet you're popular with everyone, aren't you, champ? And it felt like, you know, talking to a kindergartner, like, oh, I bet you're really popular with the girls, huh, buddy?
Oh, gee whiz, pops.
Yeah. But I don't know. At least Ruka realizes that he's like, you know, hey, that's not what it's all about, though. You know, and Kojima drops this wisdom of everyone is always on this perpetual journey to find out who they are. Even when you think you found it out, you're still on that journey because everyone is searching, soul searching constantly.
Take notes.
This dude, God, this dude is, I'm starting to feel like he's awesome, but it's almost like he's formulated to be awesome. Like he's a plant.
Yeah. Like, he's not even a construction contractor of any kind. He's an actor.
I don't know, man.
I mean, look at him. He's got that smile. He's got that really, you know, smile. Their good looking smile. That's just like, wow. I feel like I can trust this man.
Back with all the scenes with him and Armand, he was exactly the same. So I think the dude's come across genuine here. I think he's legit.
Yeah, super cool guy. Definitely think the scene itself was set up. I mean, obviously it wasn't scripted, but it was definitely set up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're like man, we need someone to beat the man into Ruka here. Who do we got in the backlog? Okay, we got this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I really do wonder if people down the line in this house might interact with Kojima more, or if someone might be the next Armand and pick up the torch and work at Kamakura. Who knows? That'd be kind of cool to see. Because to my understanding, someone in Boys and Girls Next Door also worked at Kamakura, so it's kind of like they passed the torch on to Armand.
Nice.
Yeah. So
what if he's Hideo Kojima's long lost older brother?
I doubt it, but that would be funny. You got any more Kojima related jokes, Colin?
Nope, just that one. I was saving it.
We need one for every episode.
So can we get to the scene that this episode was named after?
Oh
boy.
This
so,
is a scene,
let me brace
man.
Myself real quick.
I mean,
Ruka takes his fate into his own hands.
The only thing that seems missing is him picking up an onion and smelling it.
Yeah, it's very close, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It damn near
so,
is.
So, we're on the first floor. It's Haruka and Kaori sitting at the kitchen table. And they're talking about an airport dog, which I looked up and is very cute. But also, it died last year, so I'm also very sad.
Whoa.
I know, right? But it was very cute. And then Ruka walks in, goes straight to the stove, cracks an egg. And from behind, you see him, and it's like, okay, all right. He cracked an egg. This is a good start.
Yeah,
it was up high, but this is a good start to whatever he's going to cook. And then we see that he cracked an egg into a pot of not even boiling water. It was just water.
To boil noodles.
To boil noodles. He just cracked
my boy.
Egg in.
Because that's how you poach eggs, right? You put eggs just in water, right?
Well, so eggs, cooking corner time. To poach eggs, you have boiling water, and then you create a whirlpool using like a ladle or something, and then you crack the egg in the middle of the whirlpool.
Okay.
Fun
so
fact.
So it all stays together.
Yeah, and then it all stays like a little ball.
Like, our boy, he was like, you know what I just imagine what was happening in his head was like, okay, I know how to make pasta, but you should add stuff to that. Let's do some broccoli. Let's do some egg. I like those things.
Things fun. I like.
That's totally valid way to approach it. But then what you do is you turn away from the kitchen, go to Google, and look up, what can I make with these ingredients?
Right.
Let's look up a recipe. Instead, he was like, I'm just going to do it on the fly. I'm just going to put stuff together. What's the worst that could happen?
And that's
my boy spends half of his free time with his nose in Instagram on his phone, and he can't figure out how to Google a recipe.
Where did he get the idea to even do this? Daly said, like, did he just walk into the kitchen and like see what was like, you know, within hand's reach and just throw it in the pot?
Look, like, all I'm saying
is, that's what
it
seems like.
Like, I'm a home cook-ish. I've never made carbonara because it's a little bit, like, intensive. And, you know, I guess I'm more used to making tomato and cream-based sauces. But carbonara is, like, it ain't easy. It shouldn't be the first pasta you make because you have to, like, get the eggs temped right and whisk in the cheese at the right time to get
a
good consistency for the sauce.
Try plain-ass spaghetti and meat.
Yeah. Just
try
do, like,
first.
Just get some, like, jarred pasta sauce, like, jarred tomato-based meat sauce. And then boil some pasta, mix them together, see how that works.
It's really not that hard.
This was a scene, man. And then he had the scissors for the broccoli, which, hey, whatever, works.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I love, the panel really has some good takes here, because you was like, he just needs to use more of his brain. Like, yes. To Daly's point, he just needs
just
to Google. Just Google. And then Tokui was like, I love this line too. He's like, I wonder what he thought when he saw the egg go down the drain with the water.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Here's the thing too about Cooking Corner. Okay, guys, for the amateur cooks out there, by the way, I would not consider myself an accomplished chef by any stretch, but I can cook a mean ass steak and, you know, I can Google the shit out of shit. All you need to basically do anything.
The shit out of shit.
Yeah. All you need to do to basically make anything delicious is get a hot pan, some oil, some onions, some garlic, some salt and pepper. Let it simmer for a little bit, and then whatever you throw in there is going to be delicious. The end. That's basically it. Yeah,
pretty much.
Put a protein in of choice, vegetable, rice, whatever. It's going to taste really good. Yeah, anything. That's it. Yeah. Try that first.
It's so easy. Like, look, cooking is intimidating, but it's not hard. You know,
it's easy to get into, hard to master.
Yeah, and clearly that's not the case for Ruka. And my favorite thing about this scene, it's very mean. Don't get me wrong. This is like... This kind of made me think a little bit differently of Haruka and Kaori, but it is funny. But they were both basically being the peanut gallery, snide comments the entire way through.
Wow.
Like, they're like, what is he doing?
It's baby's first time cooking, huh?
They were bullying him, man.
Yeah. And the way he was cutting the broccoli florets, it was like, oh, that reminds me of samgyeopsal, which if you don't know, that's like pork belly in Korean barbecue, which that's how you normally cut it in Korean barbecue. I was just like, oh God, this is mean. Like, they're right, but it's mean.
Right. And then Kyrie's like, look, man, I'm on deadline. I gotta leave.
Yeah. He's like, look, I gotta go. I don't have time for this.
Yeah, I can't stand this.
If I stay here, I'm gonna keep laughing, and I can't do that.
And someone was like, oh, the greenery is a nice touch.
Yeah, like, the green nice element. Green. I like that you added a green element.
Man, all he needed was to add some salt and pepper because he's eating it there and he's like, no, there's no flavor. And that's what Haruka was like harping on it too. Like, hey, how's it taste? How's it taste? How's it taste? Like, let the man eat his bland shit.
Actually, though, the first thing she asks before she asks if it's good, she asks, is it undercooked? She immediately assumes it's not even right.
It's undercooked, isn't it?
Yeah. And then it's like, oh, but how does it taste?
Wow.
Man, that
Ruka,
hurt to
Ruka,
watch.
Ruka, my boy.
I mean, at least he's trying.
An attempt.
Yes.
So there was an attempt,
to be fair,
that was made.
Yeah. I mean, what's worse, okay? Like stumbling on your very first try or being someone like we keep drawing parallels to, Yudai, who comes in, sniffs the onion, makes water soup. Like, which one's worse, I argue? The one that
it was worse in Yudai's case because, I mean, Yudai did cook, but he also claimed to be a chef.
Right, exactly.
And he had no idea what the fuck he
was
doing.
You gotta start somewhere. I mean, shit, I'll call the fucker out. You guys know Dan Reichert on, like, Giant Bomb? He's got, like, world famous stories of his cooking fails. When he tried to cook egg whites, and this is hilarious, by the way, but he literally cracked the egg, put everything inside the egg in the trash can, and put the egg shells in the pan. Because he was trying to make egg whites. Because he thought those were the whites of the egg. The fucking shells. Oh, and then sat there like, nothing's happening.
This is a grown-ass man?
Yes, this is a grown-ass man making egg whites thinking it's the white eggshells. That's not even the worst thing he did.
Jesus.
Then like, he said all throughout college, he didn't want to cook. So he just like bought frozen hot dogs and he didn't want to buy plates or do dishes. So he just used an upside-down lid to a shoebox as a... And he would just put hot dogs in it in the microwave daily right now.
What
in the microwave fuck? And just use that. So and then he would just reuse it. Daily's gone now. Daily has left the podcast. We don't know where she is.
Oh, my God.
And he would just use it like for a whole semester or whatever, a whole year at college, the same shoebox lid to make the frozen hot dogs. This is documented.
Listen, okay, so.
I'm going to be sick.
So it's like you and I at least give the man some credit because he's not that fucking stupid, not you, right?
Here's what I will say, though. Do not, I repeat, you cannot give people credit when they go off and live on their own for the first time, because I have seen, going through college as I have seen some crazy shit and I've heard some wild stories about, like, because you just kind of assume that people have a general sense or an idea of how to, like, live on their own or with other people when they go off to college, because maybe, hopefully, their parents might have showed them a thing or two. Not the case, my friends. Mm. Not the case. Like, I've had roommates... just bowls strewn everywhere in their room, just like bags upon bags upon bags of garbage just sitting in their room. And it's like, how do you function? How do you live? So my point being is Ruka is even though he's far behind, he's still ahead of a lot of people.
Yeah. And just to, again, to have a comparison here, Daily, just while we're on the tip of being disgusted by Dan Reichert's exploits, he also was the first person to ever get married at a Taco Bell. And he is like 35 or something like that. Like, he's pretty, you know, old, in the mid 30s, wherever. And he just recently learned that you can wash hoodies. He didn't know you could wash hoodies.
Wait, you can do that?
You can put them in the washer, yes, and then dry them or air dry them.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
he never knew.
Sorry, guys, I gotta go wash my hoodie real quick.
I gotta wash all of my hoodies.
This is a living man, Dale.
So I'm dead.
To bring it back,
you killed me. I'm dead.
To Terrace House, I think both parties are at fault here in that Kaori and Haruka, I think we're being a little too mean for baby's first time cooking, right? But at the same time, harsh. If it's your first time cooking, it shouldn't be carbonara. It should pick a simple recipe. You know?
Did he know he was making that, or did he accidentally? Almost yeah, make it.
No, he said, like, said. Yeah, okay. I'm making pasta carbonara style. And it's like, no, you're not.
No. I mean, if you just grew a big giant handlebar mustache.
Mm-hmm. Or twirled it a bit.
The thing about noodles, too, you could just like make noodles, melted butter on top and some Parmesan cheese. Done.
Yeah, butter noodles. That's a meal. Done. Yeah. Like, it's so easy to do noodles. Why would you make carbonara your first try? Like, that's
Daily,
not.
Daily, come back to us.
I was starting to think Daily might have had an aneurysm and just died.
But, oh my gosh. So
here's what I want to drill down on, though. Is like, this is after Kaori leaves. Ruka, he expresses to Haruka, like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to become a cook, right? Like, I'm finally going to take my first step into being an adult. And he says the reason why is because, quote, I also don't think it's cool to always have someone cook for you. Guys, it's not about looking cool.
I gotta be cool.
It's about
I gotta be a cool kid.
It's about cooking so you don't die.
So you don't die, and so you're not Sims, so you're man. Self-sufficient.
Like, good the Sims, God. You're not trying to manage your cool meter. You're trying to manage your hunger.
Yeah.
You're trying to manage your self-sufficiency, my boy.
Dude.
He's like, got a much God. Deeper issue than just his immaturity here.
Yeah.
That he's placed so much value on the way other people perceive him.
It's so obvious.
And
that
I don't think...
Go.
I don't think being at Terrace House helps that 100% because you are literally under the spotlight.
Yeah. You're under a microscope.
I've got, like, just to the point of where I'm just, like, asking myself, like, what happened to this kid growing up? And I have a feeling, like, maybe his dad just, like, threw up his hands, like, early in life, like, fuck it, I give up. This guy doesn't want to waterproof these basements. Like, fine, learn your own shit on your own. And then his grandma's like, oh, just be nice to him. He's a good boy. You know, he'll be fine. And his mom doesn't give a fuck. She's doing whatever.
Yeah, he,
and then
his grandma just, grandma's boy.
Absolutely. I mean, watch that. Watch that episode. You know, his pre-interview, whatever. It's pretty evident. But she's like, man, he never had to do anything. And now, mm-hmm. now he has to do everything. Or like, at least he's inching his way towards becoming a man. So, again, I think he's headed in a positive direction. But it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while to get there.
Yeah, it just takes some time.
Yeah, but I hope he ain't going to get no shitty. He ain't going to get no shitty misspelled tattoo on his chest anytime soon. I hope.
Oh God.
I hope. Oh yeah. What was that? You're my angel.
You're my angel.
You're my Spider-Man.
You're my angle.
Aye.
The last the last scene in this episode is cutting back to the Haruka Ruka talk at the kitchen, where Haruka starts kind of life coaching Ruka a little bit and asks him who he admires. He mentions his father, who we've talked about, and he also mentions Ryoma Sakamoto, which my uneducated ass first thought, is that an anime character that I don't know? Is this about to be like another Spider-Man thing? But no, he's actually a historical figure who is actually pretty cool. He was basically fighting for the Meiji Restoration to happen before it happened. So he was like, you know, a samurai ahead of his time.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. Like, Ruka didn't know that, because when Haruka asks, oh, why do you look up to him? He's like, he did some stuff. My memory escapes me.
Oh, God.
Great.
But Sakamoto Ruka. Is a decent hero, I think. Just
he was cool. That's why.
Yeah, he was cool. He looked cool.
Okay, so again, this episode, I think at the end of the day, is going to end up being a net positive for Ruka.
Yes.
I would like to hope that this is a turning point, and I think we're going to start seeing some changes.
We'll see.
It's going to be a rough one. We're going to be watching a rough journey from our boy here.
You think he's going to be in the house for a long time still? Predictions?
What's that?
You think he's going to be in the house for a long time
still? I think he'll stay in the house. I think he'll stick around for a little bit.
I desperately hope so.
Same. Okay. I don't think he's going to leave soon, only because I think this is the starting point for him realizing, like, this is my new family and this is the new group of people I need to look cool to. And if he leaves now, he knows for a fact at this point that if he leaves now, he is regressing as a human being.
Right. Also, next week is going to be episode 12. So I think we'll probably just save more broad predictions for that one. Right. The end of episode part one here in international Netflix.
Yes. Definitely. Oh my God. Yeah. Next week is episode. Oh my.
It's guys.
Last episode of the part, y'all.
Guys, it's. I can't believe we were already here. It seems like blink of an eye. We just started.
Really been 3 months.
I remember, man. What? Yeah. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's almost been a year doing the show, like we said last week, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're pretty much at the year mark, y'all.
Yeah. Figure it out.
But I say this is a good time to bring this episode to a close. This is a pretty long one that we did.
It needed it. This was the legendary episode 11. There was a lot of crazy, awesome, terrible, scarring shit that happened.
Literally, Tara's house will never be the same. This is a historical episode.
Like, this episode, I think, justifies the TVMA. I'm willing to bet if this wasn't in the cut, they wouldn't have rated this TVMA.
No.
Or actually, no, they might have.
I think every episode is just TVMA.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are bath scenes and shit, too, like, in general in Tara's house.
Imagine, like, a family or something that's like, hey, we're going to get together and watch Tara's. Yikes.
I know.
Oh, no.
You know, Japan's number one reality show. Let's watch it.
Daddy, why is he naked?
Maybe. I mean, the thing, too, about it is that, I mean, this is a big deal to us because we're from America and you just don't see this shit. Like, maybe other places in the world is like, whatever. You know, I mean, you go to Europe.
Male nudity.
Yeah, in Europe, you could see boobs on a shampoo commercial.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it ain't no thing. But violence is a big deal there. See, here in America, violence is like, whatever. Mass murder, meh.
Yeah.
But a boob, a booty, oh gosh.
A boob.
Yeah, side boob. God. You know, so it could be a cultural thing too, why we're so like,
Yeah, America's pretty fucked,
oh my God,
fucked,
the nipples. Those are nipples.
Yeah, it is, but that's another podcast for another day, Robert.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Yeah, so let's bring this episode to a close. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, any theories you have about Shohei Scrotum, please don't email that to us, but email anything else to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. You can catch us next Tuesday. We're going to cap off part one of Tokyo 2019-2020 with episode 12, always chilling. Because that's me, baby. I'm always chilling.
Word.
Same.
That's my secret, Cap.
I'm always chilling. This
that's
has
a funny
been
title.
Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itadakimasu.
Did you just open up our email to dick pics?
If you enjoy our show, please like, comment, and subscribe, and ding the bell to receive notifications when we publish new content. Follow us on social media and check out our brand new Discord server linked in the description below.